funny thing happened while people were trying to go and study global warming. We got frozen in the ice. Got too cold. Things went wrong. So they sent down ice cutters designed to cut through, you know, some pretty thick ice, up to 21 feet in some cases, to rescue them. And they got stuck too. And of course, it's freezing here. It's only going to get colder. So whatever happened to global warming? Where's the climate change beyond the seasons? Thought, why not get Mark Moreno of ClimateDepot.com on the horn and have a little fun at the expense of these true believers. So that's what we did. Hello, Mark. How are you?
Hi. Thank you for having me on here. Yeah, this has been, it's been a very wonderful time to be a global warming skeptic right now, to see the global warming scientists who went down to Antarctica to provide evidence for the melting ice down there to get stuck, not just once, twice, but three times in the ice. With
the rescue ships that are designed to cut through the ice got stuck in the ice. There's so much ice.
Yeah, and what's most amazing is they picked a time when, I will give you the exact quote, "Planet Earth currently has the most sea ice ever measured this time of year since the monitoring began in the late 1970s. This was the time that Professor Chris Turney went and led this Antarctic expedition down there. And by the way, this professor from an Australian university has vested interest in carbon capture technologies and money, making money off of global warming. And he went down there, he brought his wife, he brought his kid, this was a big party, he brought all these other research scientists. They were going down there to prove that the ice was melting. They were following on a trip Al Gore made about a year and a half ago, and actually encountered similar cold weather at the time, unusually cold weather, Al Gore encountered. But the global warming alarmists have been trying to use Antarctica. The problem is Antarctica has been at or near record sea ice expansion for years, and it just hasn't been cooperating as an example for them to use.
That's what we always hear. Oh, my God, a chunk the size of Florida fell off the east coast of Antarctica. And then they never mention, oh, well, the other side of Antarctica is actually much bigger than it's ever been. They always leave these little convenient facts out.
Fact, one meteorologist likened that. What they do is they'll talk about the Western Peninsula. Al Gore will talk about this. Oh, there's been melting. And, yeah, there has been a section, but this is a huge landmass. And one scientist likened it to worrying about the icicles breaking off on one end of a house. Well, the whole house, meanwhile, continues to freeze. The entire continent. And keep in mind, there's two different types of ice on Antarctica. There's land-based ice, like glacial ice, and then there's sea ice. Both the sea ice has been at or near record extent, and the land-based ice, there's no global warming signal. There's no evidence that that's been melting. In fact, there's been, you know, conflicting evidence that it's either been stable or actually growing, and in particularly the eastern part of the continent of Antarctica. So both forms of ice are very safe. The temperature is not showing a global warming signal of any kind, and so this is why they try to focus even more attention on the Arctic ice. But the problem there is Arctic ice had an astounding recovery this year. And the other problem with the Arctic ice is they started monitoring the Arctic ice in the late 70s during the height of the global cooling scare, when many scientists believed there was probably a 40-year high in Arctic ice. So they picked one of the highest points of the 20th century to start monitoring. And then, of course, we've lost ice since then. So you can't deny the Arctic has lost ice. But global sea ice, which is what I opened the show talking about, if you combine both the Arctic and the Antarctic, including ice around Greenland as well in the North Pole and South Pole, is at the most ever measured at the end of 2013 going into 2014 right now. So they just have epic fail all over. There's just been all kinds of jokes comparing it to the Love Boat, comparing it to Gilligan's Island. This has been just an endless source of irony. One publication, I believe in Europe, said this has done more damage to the global warming cause, this ship getting stuck, than the entire ClimateGate scandal back in 2009 and 2010.
Really, I mean, they have awful timing. There have been countless global warming protests canceled because of snow. I remember when I worked on the Hill, they had a big global warming. It was going to be a big protest on the Mall. Well, the government was closed, and they canceled that because it was too damn cold and too much snow. So, but this one thing drives me nuts, because we're seeing obviously record cold temperatures all across the United States, all across the world right now. It's a cold snap. And they always, when you point that out, they say, well, it's weather isn't climate. Weather isn't climate. But then you go through a hot spell in the summer. Weather, it's global warming, it's climate change. This is all the fault of man. We were told, Mark Moreno of ClimateDepot.com, that we were going to have more frequent tornadoes, more frequent hurricanes, stronger ones of each as time went on, after every time there's a tragic event in those cases. And we've had none. We weren't even hit by a hurricane this year. Tornadoes were at an all-time low. Just tell us a little bit about the wild claims that have been made in an effort to try and make people believe that they're affecting, we're all collectively Bond villains, basically controlling the weather.
Yes, well, let's start with the reason they had to shift it over to this extreme weather claims is because the global temperature stopped cooperating. In fact, if you go back 15, 18 years, depending on one of the five major data sets that you're using to monitor the global temperature, whether you're talking satellite, combined land and sea, or just ground-based, they lost their talking point of runaway global temperature. In fact, all high school kids today have never experienced global warming. We've been at a temperature standstill. All elementary school kids, since 2002, we've experienced a slight global cooling. So how are you going to sell global warming? You've got to shift the narrative. And that's where the New York Times dubbed it global weirding, unquote, where you're going to talk about extreme weather. We've never had weather like this. The problem is that's an epic fail.
We've always had weather like this.
We've always had weather. That's the whole point. You know, if you go back, the history of the Earth is always about violent and extreme weather. But even if you look at it empirically over the 20th century, there's no trend in droughts going back 60 years, no trend in floods going back up to 115 years, tornadoes, big tornadoes, F3 and larger, down since the 1950s, hurricanes. We haven't had a major Category 3 or larger hurricane. Now, yes, Sandy was big, but Sandy also hit at high tide. It was barely a Category 1. It may not even have been a Category 1 when it hit New York. So you can't count that because that was very low. That was just having the timing of high tide and the flooding that hit the city. But the bottom line is 8 years since 2005, we have not had a major Category 3 or larger hurricane, the longest period since at least 1900.
But, Florida, Mark, we were assured by Al Gore that after Katrina, that was going to be the new normal.
Yes. In fact, the scientists Gore used then later essentially reversed themselves and said, if anything, global warming may reduce the number of hurricanes, depending on how the conveyor belt brings up upon the land. So even the scientists Gore relied on ended up hedging their bets on that. And yes, I mean, Time Magazine, I think it was 2008, did a big study saying, is this the new normal with hurricanes? And then we went into this huge drought. On every single metric of extreme weather, they're failing. Now, if you look beyond extreme weather, they're still trying to claim a whole host of other issues, things like sea level rise, and that is failing. Now, there's no acceleration, and the sea level's been rising since the end of the Ice Age 10,000 years ago. There's no acceleration, though, in sea level, even over the 20th century and even in recent years. They'll talk about polar bears. The new numbers on polar bears in the Arctic are, they used to say 20 to 25,000. I've seen estimates now up to 32,000. And yes, they're finding thin, hungry polar bears, but that's because when you have population explosions, you have more bears competing for the same food. Mm-hmm. If anything, there's areas that are overpopulated. The indigenous peoples of the Arctic, the politically incorrect name would be the Eskimos, can tell you that. I have documentation at Climate Depot where Eskimo leaders come out and talk about the plentiful number of polar bears. Frankly, I would trust them over climate model computers sitting in the comfort of Harvard and Princeton and these other universities cranking out these simulated global warming scare stories.
All of which are dependent on government grants to perpetuate the study of what they claim has to be happening. Now, I'm looking at Twitter right now, Mark, and I see Jim Roberts. He's from Mashable. He's a chief content officer over at Mashable. He tweets out, climate deniers will have a field day with polar vortex, but remember, temps in Greenland and Arctic are above normal. And someone named Ash Gabranos, who a name I can't pronounce, another writer on this, dear climate deniers, a polar vortex is not proof of climate change. It's not proof climate change is not occurring. It's proof that it is occurring. They set the rules and change them. They're made out of Play-Doh, apparently, so that no matter what happens, no matter what they predict that doesn't come to pass, it's still proof of what they claim is happening.
Yes. Now, there is an important point that needs to be made from a skeptical point of view. Record cold in the United States, which is only about 1.5% of the surface area of the Earth, is not proof or disproof of man-made global warming. Mm-hmm. So I will start by saying that. However, you just touched upon it. they've gone the extra step, and they're now trying to claim that record cold is proof of man-made global warming. Well, I think skeptics are being very careful. We're having fun. We're laughing. You know, Obama did an executive order in November saying that we had, let me give you the exact quote, runaway, excessively high temperatures are already harming public health, which is kind of funny to read that now because they're trying to hype all these record hot when it's just not happening. But the key here is, this claim that this polar vortex and the alteration of the jet stream and somehow that man-made CO2 is causing this, this was very similar to 1975. The National Academy of Sciences claimed that man-made global cooling was altering the weather patterns and bringing the jet stream down. So they're just having it all ways and every way. But it's a very important point. We should not use record cold here in the United States, which is less than 2% of the surface of the Earth, as any kind of proof that global warming isn't real. However, they are embracing the idea of record cold being proof of global warming because they're claiming any weather extreme, be it blizzards, record snow, cold, or record heat, are all proof that we're altering the atmosphere to weather we've never had before. And that is unscientific. So I think the skeptics are keeping above board here. But it is important. The other reason it's important for skeptics to highlight the cold and the snow is because the scientists affiliated with the United Nations and many other global warming scientists, including Princeton's Michael Oppenheimer, have said snow is a thing of the past. Mm-hmm. That we're not, that they bought their daughter's sled. This is back in 2000, 1999. They bought their children's sled, but they weren't getting to use it. And sadly, this was the new normal. So we can mock and have fun because they predicted that this stuff was not going to happen anymore. And of course, now that it's happening, they're saying it's all consistent with their theory. It's unscientific claptrap at this point.
We're talking with Mark Moreno of ClimateDepot.com. Now, Mark, we are climate deniers, which is akin to Holocaust deniers, which is just the lowest form of human beings. But the amount of hate mail you must get must dwarf anything that I get,
because you're messing
with people's religion, essentially.
I post them up. I get threats, all kinds of stuff. I always like to reply to the most vile hate mail. And it's just funny. People get very upset, accuse me of being paid propagandist, a lobbyist, and I'm neither of those. I'm not a lobbyist. I come to this as a from the journalistic perspective, an investigative reporter. I'm not a scientist, although I do occasionally play one on TV. I say jokingly, but yes, the level of emotion we have. Paul Krugman of the New York Times has actually said climate deniers will burn in hell for their climate denial. We've had people now, a guy named Matthew Lau from New York University, advocating shrinking people and getting meat patches on their arms, similar to nicotine patches, so that we will stay away from meat because of its climate impact. I mean, some scary stuff is out there, and people are eating it up and listening to it. We've had Carrie Norgaard, another professor, say that people needed to be, quote, treated, unquote, for global warming skepticism or global warming denial. So it's scary stuff. This is their, in many ways, it's a doomsday-type cultish religion where they believe we've brought our own destruction. And it's a lot of medieval witchcraft mixed in. They'll say, we haven't never had weather like that until you bought that SUV. and that's basically what this is about. And they believe that acts of Congress, the United Nations, can alter weather patterns. We had Barbara Boxer, the chair of our Senate Environment Committee, on the day of the tornado outbreak. And by the way, you mentioned earlier the record low tornadoes in the United States. The one tornadoes we did have in Oklahoma, she went down to the Senate floor and said, this is exactly what the scientists warned us about, and this is why I propose my carbon tax. As though Barbara Boxer's Senate carbon tax would have steered the tornadoes away from Oklahoma or stopped them from forming. This is modern witchcraft.
Well, it's the real absurdity of it. They claim things that can't be proven or disproven. When they do their climate models projecting into the future, they never pan out. It's never what they say. We should be much warmer right now. What, about 15 years ago, Al Gore said, we only have 10 years before it's too late to do anything about it. So theoretically, it's too late. But they've set up the ground rules. It's like playing poker with, if you remember the movie Stripes, when John Candy was playing poker with that one idiot guy in the barracks, and no matter what happened, oh, no, if you had gotten another two, then you would have won. But that's exactly what we're dealing with these people. It's like boxing Jell-O.
Yes, it's always, there's, you know, the rules of the game are always changing here. Record cold now and snow. I mean, the New York Times actually said, bundle up, it's global warming. I mean, this is the level we're at now. And now they're trying this old jet stream thing again, where we've altered the jet stream. It's always our fault. And this is, again, This is pagan cultures, primitive civilization. You go back thousands of years. People always thought that weather and climate were some kind of retribution from the gods, if you will, plural, against us. And basically, the modern-day environmentalism is borrowing that page, and they're using that, where this is these are our sins of our modern way of life. And this is why you have, and I interviewed this man at the global warming conference I was at, the UN conference in Poland in November, a man, Kevin Anderson, a prestigious professor in the United Kingdom, in England, who says he cut back on his showering and got rid of his refrigerator in order to fight global warming. These people believe that modern conveniences are basically causing evil weather patterns to hit us, and so they're changing their lifestyle. This is very akin to human sacrifice, except today it's people of color in Africa and South America and Asia who are going to be the ones, the modern sacrifices, as the Obama administration is preventing coal plants from going into Africa out of global warming fears, as the United Nations is trying to pressure poor developing countries to limit their emissions and sign on to global treaties when they don't even have enough, when they have, you know, 1.3 to 1.5 billion people without running water and electricity at barely subsistence lifestyles. They, people of color today, the 1 billion plus, are the modern human sacrifices of this modern eco-religion, and that they won't let them develop the way the West developed, the way the white, wealthy Western world developed. And that is the most shocking development of this whole thing, is when you go to these countries of dire poverty, and in Africa, countries like Chad, they banned charcoal burning due to global warming fears, and it led to desperate families. These were news accounts, people starving because of these international regulations, and the governments are forced to comply. It's really scary stuff.
Well, these people constantly claim, you know, we need to separate church and state, separate church and state. I support that. Let's declare global warming a religion and absolutely demand a wall of separation between the two. Mark Moreno, climatedepot.com is the website. As always, fun time, and appreciate your time today.
Thank you very much.